Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, we're finally here. It's trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. This one seems active, man. This is fun to watch these trades happen. Overnight, Suarez was traded to the Mariners. How busy a day do you think it's going to be today?
Hey, I'm fired up, Bobby. I've complained on my bully pulpit, and Dusty, it's great to talk to you as well. I am someone that used to love the overnight trade deadline. Yeah, at midnight Eastern time, that was like the greatest thing. And then Rachel Nichols ruined it for everybody at the NBA when she complained, why do we have to stay up late for these trades? And so the NBA then made the trade deadline in the afternoon, and then shortly after that, every other sports league in the industrial complex of sports changed it to the either the evening or the afternoon. So today it's at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock for you in Kansas City. So I love that we had a couple of trades, a couple of things happening. The Mason Miller story is pretty good too. He didn't pitch for the A's last night because they're about to trade him. So that happened right before I got on the air for the overnight show. So I love stuff like this. And it's great. I mean, think of the history of baseball at the trade deadline. And Gino Suarez is the guy with the most home runs to ever be traded at the deadline. Like, that's the record. That's the guy. And he goes to Seattle. And that's like things the Mariners never do. They never actually go all in. They never try. They just want to be good but not great. So, like, I love it. And, you know, the Dodgers have fallen apart. I think they'll be very active. The Yankees made a bunch of minor moves that are, like, that's not a Yankee move, the moves they've made. Those are, like, moves a mid-market team makes. So I'm fascinated by the whole thing. And there's so many teams mathematically – that are contenders that, like, if you don't do something, then you're going to take a lot of hell from your fans.
Or if you do something and you kind of think you still are, from a fan perspective, alive in this thing and you don't make the moves, then you catch a lot of hell for your fans. This extra wild card has really mucked things up when it comes to the trade deadline.
Yeah, because like there's teams that aren't even 500. Like, I was raised under the illusion that you have to be at least 500. Even then, you should really be above 500 to be a real contender. But there are teams mathematically that are under 500 that are only a good week away from being a wild card team. They're, you know, five or so games away from being a wild card team. So it gives you the impression that you're better than you are. But I'm just happy that teams are active. I am so annoyed. And we agree, we're on the same page, Bob, with teams that are like, well, we have to hold on to every minor league player, you know, or we have to give away everyone, right? We have to have a fire sale, have a bonfire on July 31st and get rid of everyone. So I just like that teams are seemingly trying to win. Like, that should be the goal. And one thing that has changed in my life, I feel like more now the last 5 to 10 years, is you have the team until the trade deadline, and then you have the team after. Like, teams playing knowing they're going to burn through their bullpen the first 3 months of the year and then redo the bullpen on the trade deadline. Like, they know going in they're going to overuse the bullpen. Guys are going to get gassed, and they're going to have to go out and get relief pitchers. And so if you're a relief pitcher, you're a hobo. You're just bouncing from team to team. It's crazy.
Harper and Rob Manfred. I mean, that thing to me has been something that is just unbelievable to kind of watch unfold. That's where baseball's headed, though, into this nastiness, right? We've had this great run for the last couple of years. Baseball's on an all-time high right now, at least for this generation, right, with everything that's going on. And then you have the commissioner and one of the star players going toe-to-toe inside a locker room looking ready to fight each other. And so I think that's where baseball's headed. How much does baseball have to avoid now this work stoppage because of where the game is?
Well, there's never going to be a salary cap. So to me, it's a pointless exercise. It is a futile act by Major League Baseball's ownership, because the only way the union will allow, I don't think they'll allow it anyway, but in, let's just say, and I believe in the multiverse, I yap about that all the time. So let's say in the multiverse, there is a dimension where there is a salary cap. In order for that to happen, what's going to have to take place? A, the players are going to have to support it. B, ownership's going to have to give the books. They're going to have, oh, that's the holy grail. They're going to have to show the books. And C, from what I understand from people that claim to know more than me, all these teams that are claiming they're losing money have actually been making a lot of money year after year. That there's a dirty little secret. The Miami Marlins, with 12 people, and we both know one of them, the great Marlins man, that goes to those games, make money. And, you know, maybe they don't make as much as the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox and teams like that, but they're making money. So if, let's say the owners open the books, and then the players say, well, wait a minute, you guys have been saying you're not making money, you're pinching pennies, and you've been making money. Well, why would the players say we want a salary cap or we're going to support it? So it's not going to happen. So you can have a work stoppage, but you're just going to be wasting time. The way I look at it. And so what, you know, find, there's got to be another, like a middle ground, like television. The television thing is interesting because that landscape has changed a lot. That's legit. Cable television is not doing great. The advertising market in cable television is not good. That's a much bigger problem than the salary cap in baseball. That's where the money, that's the sugar daddy of baseball, is television. So they're going to have to find a new sugar daddy.
Yeah, Ben, it's a good thing that you don't have a whole lot of salary cap issues with the Dodgers, because what, you guys have to go get seven pitchers now, because now Otani's probably out for the season. Sky's falling in L.A. There's a hip issue now. He must be getting older. I mean, are your Dodgers going to be okay?
Well, I think Otani just needs to drink more water. I think he needs more, like maybe some Gatorade or something like that. But no, the Dodgers, they're a team. We talked about Dusty, we mentioned with Bob, I was talking about, well, there's teams that they have the illusion of being a good team, but they're not. They're under 500. The Dodgers have a good record. I'm telling you, I watch them almost every game. They're not very good. Their lineup is lacking. There's guys out. And they either have the worst training staff in Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, or they have such an entitled roster of overpaid players that these guys get a hangnail and they immediately take 10 days off on the injury list. Like, they've spent so much money trying to redo the training staff and get medical people in that know what they're doing, and it's the same thing. They lead baseball every year. Some of it is manipulation with the pitching staff. They do manipulate the pitching staff where they plan certain, you know, they want to limit the innings, and so they artificially put guys on the injured list, but it's, no, they're not very good. I'm telling you, they're not going to win the World Series this year the way they played. But there is the other thing that's annoying me. I hate teams that do this, even if I like the team. There's this arrogance. There's this Dodger arrogance that they're so good, they can just flip the switch when the playoffs come around, and it bothers me. They did it last year. Good luck doing it again. I don't buy it.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and then, you know, as all the trade deadline stuff is going on, as soon as that kind of subsides tonight, hey, first Thursday, we've got football for the next 18 months, and so I think a lot of people are excited about that. What percentage of this game do you expect to watch? Because I'm setting the over-under at 8.5 plays. Are you taking the over or the under on that?
Full transparency here. I love the open. I love the big production, you know, NBC Open. You know, this is the new season. You see the broadcasters. You scan the field. The one caveat this year, which is different, so I'll watch the first series, and then I'll say, well, this sucks, and I'll try to find a baseball game. The other thing, though, is it's Brent Musburger is supposed to be in the booth. I am a huge Musburger fan. He was very kind to me years ago. He came on my show, and I have talked to him a few times. In fact, he came up to me. He was doing NBA games. I was at a Laker game covering it, and he came up to me, and he said, hey, young man, do you know how to pronounce Sasha Vujacic's name? And so I have that bond with Brent Musburger. So I'm excited to see him in the booth. I also love how he just unloaded on the NFL when they got rid of John Gruden, called it like a mob hit, and just wonderful. So I, for nostalgic reasons, I grew up watching Musburger. I'm going to try to figure out when he's going to be in the booth. But other than that, no, like the football stuff, I'm good. I don't need to see that.
You don't think that Jim Harbaugh is going to be on the sideline doing something quirky tonight because the game doesn't matter, but to him, there's like, it seems like he's, I don't know, he seems like he's like the weirder version of Belichick. Like, Belichick wore the hoodie, he wears the khakis. No days off, no nights off. I don't know what's going on with that guy watching his quarterback through like a tarp and saying that his biggest problem is that no one's as talented as Herbert. Explain to me your Chargers and your coach.
Well, they're not my Chargers, but yeah, I mean, that's one of the all-time great spin jobs. It's like, well, yeah, he's great, but we're just not at his level. I mean, like, what kind of, you know, what is that? I mean, seriously, that was one of the most ridiculous things. No, the problem, Coach Harbaugh, is when the game's big, your quarterback rides the vomit comet. He's been in two playoff games. They blew a how big a lead against Jacksonville? It was like 20-something points in that playoff game, Herbert. And then he was horrific against the Texans this past year. That wasn't his teammates' fault. That was on him. So, no, I mean, Harbaugh's fine. He's great. He's like way too intense. You know, we all know that guy at work that's way too intense. Like, dude, chill out, man. Come on. What are you doing? And that's why he wears that as welcome. Like, this has got to work in the next couple of years. Harbaugh's not going to be coaching the Chargers 5 years from now. It's got to work now, or else he'll go back to college or he'll go somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, is he going to do something crazy? I don't think he'll do anything crazy on the sidelines tonight. He might fall asleep because it's going to be so boring. That might happen. That'll be interesting. Take a nap on the sidelines. I'd be to that.
Ben, where does Christian Wilkins end up, and how does this story finish?
Well, hopefully not in jail. I don't know. There's some wild rumors out there about what happened. But he was thought of a couple years ago as a very valuable asset. That's why he got the contract he got. So assuming that some of the rumors are bogus and that they're not legit, then he'll be on an NFL roster and he'll be playing. And they'll work out some kind of compromise. He'll lose some money, but he's not going to lose $35 million. He'll get some of that money back from the Raiders. And I'd love to know what actually happened, though, behind the scenes. I've heard several different versions of that. It must have been a humdinger, whatever he did. And for Tom Brady had to sign off on that. Right? He's kind of the shadow GM, the de facto GM. So whatever he did must have raised the cackles of Tom Brady. I love saying raised the cackles. I don't even know what that means. But upset Tom Brady. So, yeah, he'll be in the NFL. And they need defensive players. He's thought of pretty good. He'll be somewhere. Patriots or the Jets or somewhere like that.
Well, everybody's upsetting Tom Brady. He's giving out father advice nowadays. So, I mean, you know, because Tom Brady was the greatest father, you know, of all time.
Yes, yes. Just don't ask his kids about. No, I don't know. Maybe he was fine. Who knows?
That's not how you kiss, Dad. Get back over here.
Have some avocado ice cream, son. Come on, please.
Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy watching Trey Lance tonight. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. Make sure you get the Ben Maller chicken tenders and, of course, Bob's Big Bavarian Pretzel as well. You can get at The Landing in Liberty.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One word, boys. Trey Hendrickson commented on ending his words.
I cannot hear you.
where is that potting something down that doesn't have anything on? Trey Hendrickson. We talked about him ending his holdout with the Bengals. He spoke to reporters yesterday. This is how he summed up the state of his negotiations with Cincinnati. Quote, things are exactly the same. One word.
Why? Then why did you show up if things are exactly the same?
Yeah.
You know, I understand if you're making headway, you're getting closer, you're this close to a deal, you show up for good faith. But if you're not even close to a deal, I know it's $50,000 a day. I get all that. I don't want to hear about that kind of stuff. But at least be Chris Jones, man. Be willing to hold out until you get what you want. Don't cave. This is what the owners hope you do. Give Chris Jones a lot of credit for sticking to it, you know? Wasn't easy, but he did it. Sent a message, got what he wanted. Trey Hendrickson shows up. Why? You're showing you got a softer side, if you will.
Or a smarter side when it comes to financial reasons. I mean, I know that they can contractly put stuff in there, like Chris Jones, obviously, you know, say that if you get this, we're going to give you $1.5 million if you get 9 sacks, or you played 15, or you played 13 games,
right,
you get $1 million. I don't know if Cincinnati's going to do that because of how tight they are, obviously. So my one word for Trey Hendrickson is it's financial, 100%. Right? He's not at that level of making a ton of money. He's got to get there first.
Yep.
And I think this is one of those financial things. Now, what he could also do is show up to camp and be like, you know, coach, shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little sore. I'm going to have to sit this one out. At least he's there. Because that's what we all said Chris Jones should do last year, right? If I remember correctly.
Yep.
Hey, Chris, just go there and say your ankle hurts.
Just go say you're hurt. Yeah.
I can't practice it, coach. I'm sorry, my ankle hurts. All right. Well, can't find me, but didn't want to make a distraction, so I just stayed away. Eventually got paid after the that Friday night the next year, then came back after week one against the Lions. But financial is my one word for Trey Hendrickson.
Okay. The Bengals trying to fix that defense. The Titans trying to fix their whole team. Cam Ward.
Never heard of him.
Number one pick in the draft. No one talks about him. This is what he had to say about their Titans offense yesterday.
I just think we're very mid right now. From our position to up front to the receiver's position. But at the end of the day, it all starts with me. I just... I just don't think we're at where we need to be, but we got a little bit of time. And so every day we get better as a whole. We're a young team. That's no excuse. At the end of the day, we got to come with the right mindset every day and come to work.
Can I use two words?
No.
Can I use refreshing and honest?
Okay, yeah, you can.
Because there's nothing better than hearing a quarterback go, "We're mid." Like, that's honesty right now. It was like the question last week about the Titans. You know, are you ready to win a Super Bowl or whatever it was? Obviously, the answer is no. But that's a good answer by him. Now, he's not trying to sugarcoat it. He's not trying to sell people a bill of goods that, you know, they're ready to go and hit the ground running. No, it's a damn work in progress. I mean, this is a rookie quarterback that's taken over a franchise that has a lot of bad habits. They got to break those habits and whatnot. So there's a ways to go with Tennessee. I like his honesty. It's refreshing.
I think it's intelligent because this is the guy that we know has gone under the radar, got drafted. 5 seconds later, Travis Hunter gets drafted, and then the storyline continues to be Shedeur Sanders in the draft.
Yeah.
He goes out there doing his job and then goes out there and gets to ask questions and answer them honestly. And he does it in an intelligent way. Our offense right now is mid. And that starts with me. We got to get better. We got to get better as a whole unit. This is a start from scratch sort of team. We're going to throw out our menu and hopefully people start liking what we're providing. And if they do, then we come back in 5 or 6 weeks and go, "Man, Cam Ward, what a guy." It's like, yeah, he's been here since April. But welcome to the show, which I'm okay with that. Like, if you don't want the attention to be negative or overly positive, just stay the way you are and just let your actions provide what people will give you. Because if he was super arrogant and the Titans start off 0-7, they'd be like, "Oh, well, Cam Ward kind of sucks." But if you say all this sort of stuff and go with this humbling sort of, you know, appreciation towards your career, people are going to kind of lay off of you. And with the most important position in sports, the quarterback, that's a good, intelligent way to look at it.
He also set the expectations for his fan base this year, too. If he would have come out and said, "Oh, we're doing great this year," then people would have expected it to be something that it really isn't. Mm-hmm. So I think the expectations now have been laid for Tennessee fans. They kind of understand what they're going through. But also, too, man, like, again, on opening day of the NFL season, survey the entire fan base of the NFL and ask how many people know that Cam Ward was the number one overall pick this year in the draft. So he's flying under the radar as the number one overall pick, keeping it real and not setting stupid, unrealistic expectations.
Well, they have Calvin Ridley, the ghost of Tyler Lockett, and Van Jefferson as their three wide receivers.
I feel like Van Jefferson is like somebody who should be reading me the news. "Good evening. Yes. I'm Van Jefferson. Here's a look at what's happening."
I'm Van Jefferson, and latest, Sophie Cunningham with a podcast. She talked about Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And being the face of the league. This one's bleeped, Bob.
Is it bleeped? Okay, good.
And it literally, like, pisses me off when people are like, "She's not the face of the league."
Who would be?
What?
Sabrina? No.
No, there's really good, well-known people in our league. I'm not discrediting them. Like, we have a lot of badasses in our league.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah to that. I'm all for that. But when people try to argue that she's not the face of our league, or if our league would be where we're at without her, you're dumb as
Yeah.
You're literally dumb as
Have we heard from Angel Reese yet?
We have not.
Because my one word is look out. Because I feel like she's now going to get attacked by people for saying that Caitlin Clark is the face of the league. Everybody knows it. And she, and the way she said it, you're effing stupid if you don't realize that Caitlin Clark is the face of the league. Love it. Wonderful. Brilliant. All that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff because she's saying what is the truth. And again, as I've said, the rest of the WNBA needs to realize, embrace Caitlin Clark. Because if you don't, you're only hurting yourself.
Yeah, I think the one word I would say is supportive. That's teammate of Caitlin Clark, Sophie Cunningham. She's telling you everybody what we already know. And the people that don't want to say that she's the face of the league, then they're just in denial. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just, you know, it's great that she's getting this podcast. I mean, the glow up for Sophie Cunningham is insane, right? Getting endorsements from Arby's, getting endorsements from, I think it's like Adidas or something like that, plus this podcast.
She's blowing up.
She could be the face of the league if it wasn't for Caitlin, you know?
Her following,
she will be.
Her following for Instagram went to like from 200,000 to like 450,000 after that incident where she almost kickboxed that girl for trying to mess with Caitlin Clark. So supportive, you know, that's what she is. I mean, Sophie Cunningham is making herself
a superstar,
an example of what the WNBA should be. Gravitate around the superstar.
That's right.
And then become your own personality.
Like what Derek Dieter did with Mahomes.
But also know that what you're doing is because of what is happening. And I think that's intelligent and supportive all in all from Sophie Cunningham. And she could be my wife any day of the week.
over 1 million followers now on Instagram for some
crazy
reason.
Crazy. I can't imagine why. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, who would want to look pictures of her?
Yeah. No, she's great, and she's telling the truth. You need more people like that, man. Like, I absolutely embrace Caitlin Clark, because there's only going to be regret when it's all said and done. If you're in the WNBA right now and you're fighting against Caitlin Clark, you're going to have regret. I mean, and I don't know any golfers who maybe have regret over not embracing the Tiger Woods phenomenon that went on, or basketball players didn't embrace the Michael Jordan phenomenon that was happening, you know, back in those days that were changing the sport right before our eyes. But if you're not embracing it, number one, you're an old head. Number two, you're foolish. And number three, you're only hurting yourself in all of this. And, you know, the sooner that everybody can embrace Caitlin Clark, rally around Caitlin Clark, and take what she's doing to the next level, everybody's going to be the better for it, man.
Okay, rapid fire here. Just a few one-word Shannon Sharpe out on ESPN. One word.
Good.
Oh. Consequence.
Okay. Luka Doncic doing a weight loss press tour yesterday on, like, Good Morning America or something, talking about that. One word.
Brilliant.
Revival. I mean, right? Everybody gave him a bunch of blank last year about being overweight. Now he's, you know, fit in LA, ready to take the world by storm. Revival.
He claims he was going to do that in Dallas anyway. But you're starting to see, like, if you weren't going to get in shape in Dallas, now you can kind of see why they maybe wanted to trade that guy. You know, like, we got rid of you, and then you go out to LA and you have a whole body transformation like that. Like, you weren't really committed to us. Fine. We're not committed to you. Go commit to yourself in LA and do your thing.
Took him to the finals at age 23.
I know.
Yeah, it's like,
I know.
It's just nuts.
That seems like commitment to me.
And my other thing is, like, 26-year-old professional athlete getting paid millions of dollars in shape. Whoa.
Yeah, right. Like, but that's the other thing. Your body's your job, right?
I don't care. Yeah. Cool, man. You've been fat for 3 years. Yeah, you should be in shape.
Right.
Nice.
It's okay for us to be a little pudgy around the midsection. Yeah. We're not paid for our bodies. Yes. But it would be like if we ruined our voice and we didn't take care of our voice and whatnot. Same. You've got to take care of your instruments. And you know, fat athletes, man, I just, you know, whatever. I don't really have the time of day for them.
I didn't think he was fat. He's just big boned.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
He's just, you know, he's fine.